I'll get a little CCR going here for y'all this morning.
Looks like we got lots of homeowners up and working on things, huh? Look at all these calls.
Rosie on the House, your happy place every Saturday morning where we melt away your anxieties of home ownership, repair, and or maintenance. We did get a winner to our son's ticket. Congratulations, Miss Bev. She knew that the first sponsor that ever reached out and asked for Rosie on the House advertising was Quality Block, the Big Red Q, local manufacturer of concrete block. Mr. Clem Hellman was the first guy I met. We had lots of people asking us, could they start advertising on the show? And I just kept saying, no. And we were 3 or 4 years into the show before Clem just kind of walked in and says, well, how do you know unless you get to know me? And I got to know him, and Clem was a longtime supporter of this show, many, many, many years. God bless you, Clem. All right, let's get back to the phones. And I do see that we have one of our listeners calling in and also giving some information for Pat down in Tucson on that garage door not working. We're going to try and get in touch with her. He basically feels the real issue is the same as mine. Somehow she's inadvertently locked the unit from the wall-mounted button, and we've got to find that unlock button, push it, and hold it for a little while, and you'll be back in business. So we've got Pat's number. We'll make sure she's in good shape and taken well care of. In the meantime, let's get to Bill in Peoria. We're going to go from Pat's garage to Bill's shower. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning. Good morning.
How are you this beautiful morning?
Well, I'm doing well, and hope you are doing too.
We are. We are. What's your project today?
We have a tiled shower with tiled in the floor also, and we're getting some discoloration on the grout. And my wife has used Clorox and other disinfectants to try to bleach it out without any success. Any recommendations?
Let's see. Is it, and this is something y'all want to try and tackle yourself?
Well, possibly, yes. Not necessarily, though.
Okay. Well, Bill, one of the things you could do is get to a professional tile distributor like Arizona Tile and ask them for the professional floor grout cleaner. Now, once it's clean, and you may not be able to get all the discoloration out by cleaning it. And then at that point, what we do is then we do an epoxy sealer stain on top of it. That may or may not be more than you want to try and tackle yourself. But with the epoxy sealer in place, it makes a great permanent color. And it does a wonderful job of sealing it out. So those would be the two steps I would start. Start with the cleaner you can find at the professional tile contractor supply store.
Okay. Do you have any contractors that you would recommend to actually do the job?
You know, for first-class floor cleaning, you can find them at rosieonthehouse.com. We actually have your phone number. We could call you with that particular phone number and give it to you, but they do tile and grout cleaning as well as resealing it and cleaning it. Okay?
And who was that again?
First Class Floor Cleaning.
Okay, first. Okay, all right. Well, thank you very much.
All right. We appreciate it. Thanks. It looks like Jennifer, First Class Green Cleaning. All right. Let's go to Pete, also calling from the Phoenix area. Good morning, Pete. How can we help you this morning?
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
You bet.
We recently purchased a home. It was built in 1993. And I notice on the back bedroom, the outside wall, where it meets the other walls, it looks like that the previous owners put in like silicone and then painted over it, but they're separated by a good half inch, 3/4 of an inch, and that bedroom wall connects to the living room, and on the living room side, it's becoming disconnected too. but the other bedrooms in that seem fine.
This is an outside wall.
Yes.
And then you have a perpendicular wall coming off that wall, and that appears to be separating from the outside wall.
Yeah, there's a gap there that they like siliconed over, and now it's separating, and I can see that there's a decent sized gap there.
And Pete,
go ahead. And so my first concern was foundation, because I do have a crack in the tile on that side of the house. So I used, they advertised on your show, they came out and looked, and they said that my foundation was fine.
Good.
So it just kind of has me concerned a little bit. But the way they build houses here are different from, I'm from out east, so the construction's different.
Yeah, it is. Now, a half-inch gap is something to be concerned about, because that's more than just settling or shrinkage. If I walk in that room, am I going to see the crack starting at the floor and going up to the ceiling, and it's a half inch the entire length of the height of the wall?
Yes. And the corner of the house too.
Boy, and they've been out and taken a look at it, and they don't feel like you've got any foundation problem. Then I guess all we're going to be able to do, I understand the house was built in 93. When did y'all move in?
About a year and a half ago.
Okay. And you just noticed this when?
Maybe about 6 months or so ago. It's just a spare bedroom, so we don't really use it.
Okay.
I was in there and noticed it.
Okay. Well, a lot of times what we'll do, Pete, is we'll take a piece of masking tape and we'll staple it to the wall spanning that crack. And if it's still moving, that tape is going to tear. Or you could measure it really, really close and watch it. But I think all you're going to be able to do at this point is watch it. The fact that we know that you've got a qualified person out there taking a look at the foundation, we've got to decide, is it still moving or is it just the way it's always been? So let's measure it now. Let's watch it for 90 days, and then we'll know better how to handle it from there, okay?
Okay, sounds good. Thank you.
Okay, man, we appreciate the call. All right, let's see if we can go to Robert, who's on hold. Robert, good morning. How can we help you here at Rosie on the House?
Hey, this is a question, Rosie. You touched on a few weeks back about the APS rate case possibly being reheard. I think you said maybe one of the former heads of the Corporation Commission found a way to get it reheard. Is that still happening?
I have been out of town all week. I saw the week before where they had enough. There was a little known clause at the Arizona Corporation Commission that if a certain number of rate holders petitioned the Corporation Commission to hear a situation, they had to rehear it. Okay? So the commissioner, Mr. Burns, did the right thing, and he said he petitioned the commission to rehear it. They turned him down, which was completely wrong, I feel. And so then there was a little-known clause, and it was actually a neighborhood activist said, and they only had to have like 25 signatures to get it reheard by law, and I think she collected hundreds and hundreds and hundreds. But Robert, here's the trick: legally, you can give them 10,000 petitions from ratepayers that want the case reheard, and all they're bound to do is consider rehearing it. The commissioners could still decide not to rehear it. So that's the irony of the whole situation. So, and we've invited APS to come on, and we've traded some emails and talked to them about it. And we will hopefully get APS on in the very near future. But Robert, that's the only update I have for you at this point. Have you experienced an unfavorable result from the rate increase? What have you decided to do? Have you already moved to the new rate? Oh, he must have hung up. So, because APS put you on a transition rate last August, and then you have to decide what permanent rate you're going to be on before May. And it all depends on how you buy energy and how you use energy. Let me just take a little minute here and cover this for all of you regular listeners who have been listening really, really well the last 10 years as I've taught you how to super cool your house, where in the middle of the summer, you're going to keep the demand at your home very, very low by letting your house go to sleep from noon to 7. And then you're going to ask your house to cool down really, really cool over the course of the night. And when it comes around to noon the next day, your house is cool enough inside so it doesn't need air conditioning the whole time that power is being consumed or delivered on peak. So we try and get people to take their off-peak consumption and make it about 80 to 85% of the total power consumed. And if you can do that and keep your demand low, I historically at my home will have about 90 to 92% of the power bought off-peak, and I can keep my demand below a 4 or 5 in the middle of the summer. So I'm paying about 8 cents a kilowatt for power. Most of you are probably paying something in the neighborhood of 13, 14, or 15. My power bill is almost half what someone under the normal regular standard rate is. So we've taught thousands of people how to do this. What you all must know is all the rules have changed. And if you do that, there's a chance that you go to the wrong rate, that you could be doubling your energy bill this coming summer. It'd be a huge shocker. As a matter of fact, I kind of softly predict that if the Corporation Commission won't rehear now, when this full rate goes into effect in May, I'm predicting there's going to be a mild uproar about July, when everybody has the rate for a full month in June. I know there'll be an uproar from those that have perfected the art of supercooling. One, on peak power now goes to 8 p.m. So you can't turn on your oven. You can't turn your air conditioner on. You can't literally do anything before 8 p.m. Well, that's kind of late for a family to start cooking dinner. So you're going to have to develop tactics and strategies around that. So, Robert, we're trying to get APS on. They have agreed to come on. We're just trying to find a date that works for everybody. And hopefully it'll be sooner rather than later. And we'll hear their side of the story. With the aggravation that your rate's going to probably go up, just know this, that we pay a very affordable rate for our electricity. I, with the father of supercooling, Mr. Steve Kep, just taught you all ways to buy it for 30, 40, 50, and 60% discount, that we're probably going to lose that opportunity to do as well. I think we'll still have something in the neighborhood of about a 20% savings, but it isn't going to be near like it was in, shall we say, the good old days.